Okay, good morning. Again, Erev Shabbos. Again, Erev Rosh Chodesh. And Alechtege Chanukah. Chagurim Sameach Ta'al. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos Kodesh learning. So I prepared, given that it's one of the most special Shabbosos of the year, given that it is Shabbos and Chanukah and Rosh Chodesh, I'm going to share a special shir in honor of Shabbos Chanukah. Okay? Not from the Sefer. So first I want to begin with Yosef HaTzadik, who we read Parshas Miketz this week. Yosef HaTzadik is the story narrative. Oh, I forgot to say thank you to our hostess and sponsor, who wishes to remain anonymous, but we appreciate her and her family's commitment and dedication to the Torah that we share here very, very much. It should bring her and her family many Shabbosos in good health and nachas. So the story of Yosef is always read by the Shabbosos of Chanukah, always. So there are many, many connections between the story of Yosef and Chanukah. But I'm going to share with you a brand new insight that I heard last night. My husband was at the Shul Masiba / Thursday night Shir, and he came home and he said, Dr. Bindiger said, I have to tell you the following Dvar Torah. So there's two Dr. Bindigers in our Shul. The younger one is Dr. Yoni Bindiger. It's his father. I don't know his first name, but it's Dr. Bindiger Sr., from Beis Medrash Wood, Mirsu told my husband has to tell me this var. It comes from the Bnei Yisachar, and it's really beautiful. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing. I prepared the pasuk so you can see what I am referring to right here. Okay, could you see my screen? Esther, you're pretty much the only one that I could see right now. Yeah? Oh, that's not where I want to be, actually. Just joking. I want to be here. Could you see it says Bereishis Mem Aleph? Okay, very good. So what happens is in Parshas Miketz that Paro has two dreams in the beginning of Perek Mem Aleph, and nobody can interpret them according to Paro's liking. He can't understand his dreams. He's very disturbed. Seven skinny cows swallowing seven fat cows, seven beaten by the eastern wind, ears of grain swallowing seven plump and full ears of grain. So the Sar Mashkim says, oh my gosh, I remember my sin in jail, this Nar Eved Ivri. They rush Yosef out of the pit. Paro says, I heard about you. You interpret dreams. You hear dreams to interpret them. Yosef says, interpretations are to God, but tell me your dreams. Yosef interprets the dreams, and he says that there will be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. But also, so here we go, okay? So you could see here, Pasuk Lamed Beis, this is Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Beis, V'al Hashinos HaChalom Al Paro Pamayim, because it happened two times. Why did Paro have the same dream two times? Ki Nachana Davar Me'im HaElokim U'mamahar HaElokim La'asoso, because the matter is proper before God, and Hashem is going to bring it quickly. So the double dream, it's like a double lashon, it's like a strengthening. It's coming very soon. And now, Yosef doesn't just identify the problem, he gives a solution. V'ata Yere Paro Ish Navon V'chacham V'ish So in order to survive the 7 years of famine, Yosef suggests that now Paro should appoint a discerning and wise individual and appoint him, and he will go out and he will supply the whole land of Egypt. Ya'ase Paro, pay attention to this pasuk. Ya'ase Paro, Paro should do v'yafkid pikidim ha'aretz, he should appoint overseers over the land. V'chimesh as eretz Mitzrayim b'shava shnei hasova. What does this word v'chimesh mean? What should Paro do? The Chimesh something, the land of Egypt in the 7 years of Sova, in the 7 years of plenty, satiation. So what is V'chimesh? Okay, so if we look at Targum Unklus to begin on my screen, Targum Unklus. So Targum Unklus says here, Ya'abed Paro v'yamne mehamenihin. Mehaminin al ara. Paro should get to work and Paro should appoint overseers over the land. V'yizareis. Yas ara dimitzrayim v'yizareis, and this overseer that you will appoint, yizareis. Now we have the word zrizus, which means alacrity to do something. Paro should prepare, Paro should get ready. This person will be appointed and he will prepare the land. He will have the zrizus and the alacrity and prepare the land so that they could survive, prepare the land during the 7 years of satiation. And Rashi says, Rashi quotes Targum Unklus, Rashi says, v'chimesh ketargumo v'yizar zun, v'chein v'chamush. Rashi says it means, like Targum Unklus says, that this person will prepare the land, so too, like in Parshas Bishlach. So I just want to make sure I'm translating the Rashi correctly, okay? That would be helpful. Even though I prepared this before, and I looked it up, obviously I prepared it before, 1 second. I just want to make sure I'm translating it correctly. V'chimesh means, yeah, he shall prepare, okay? So Paro said, Yosef says to Paro, you should appoint a wise and discerning individual, and during the 7 years of plenty, he will prepare the land for the famine that's coming. And Rashi says it's just like in the beginning of Beshalach, v'chein v'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. The beginning of Beshalach, the b'nei Yisrael went up chamushim. So Rashi says they were prepared. So the b'nei Yisrael says, and this was told to me by my husband, the name of Dr. Bindegar Sr., who davens in our shul. Okay. He said, you have to tell your wife this part. V'chimesh, it's a very strange lashon. If Yosef was supposed to prepare the land for surviving the years of famine by amassing food during the years of plenty, why doesn't it just say prepare? Why does he use the word v'chimesh? So B'nai Shaskar says that this is an allusion to the Maccabim, that they would fight, they would battle to restore. What do we know? The Greeks want to remember Yosef's story is always read by the Shabbosos of Hanukkah, by the time period of Hanukkah, and there are many connections. Ches stands for Chodesh, Mem stands for Mila, and Shin stands for Shabbos. So the B'nai Yisrael said that Yosef wasn't preparing the land of Egypt. He was actually preparing the Jews to be able to survive Galus by strengthening them in the areas of Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos. So here we have, this is Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Dalet in Bereishis. Ya'aseh Paro v'yafkid pikidim ha'aretz. V'chimesh, like we saw Rashi quoting Unka says, it means to be prepared. V'chimesh is Eretz Mitzrayim, but the B'nai Yisrael says that this is an allusion to the battle of the Chashmonaim. They would fight back against the Greeks. Ches is Chodesh, Mem is Mila, and Shin is Shabbos. So Yosef was actually preparing the B'nai Yisrael to be able to survive Galus. But this, I told Dr. Bindegar, this can also be understood. V'chamushim is also armed, A-R-M-E-D, like armed, ready for battle. But how do you know that? That's not my own verb. Because in Parak Yud Gimel, which Rashi quotes to Bereishis, in Parak Yud Gimel of Shemos, the Pasuk tells us, V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael amirat Yitzrayim. In the beginning of Parshas Beshalach, we are told that b'nei Yisrael went out chamushim from the land of Egypt. What does it mean they went out chamushim? So there's different interpretations. But if you look here on my screen, ein chamushim ela mizuyanim. Chamushim means armed. The b'nei Yisrael went up armed from the land of Egypt, okay? And this is written to make us understand. You shouldn't wonder, by Mechames Amalek, by Mechames Sichon and Og, and Midian, where did they have weapons of battle from? So the answer is, V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael meretz Yitzrayim, they went up armed. So again, Rashi to Beshalach, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches tells us, when the Pasuk says, V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael meretz Yitzrayim, see the Rashi on my screen, it means they went up armed, Mizuyanim. So I think that perhaps, with this understanding of the b'nei Yisrael, we could say that Yosef didn't only prepare the Jews and the Chashmonaim to survive Galus by strengthening Chodesh, Shabbos, and Mila, but he also armed them. Spiritually, Yosef armed generations of Jews to survive Galus. So again, once more, going back to our Parsha, okay? Ya'aseh paro v'yafkid b'kidim ala aretz v'chimesh aseretz Mitzrayim. The B'nai Yisrael said, Yosef wasn't only preparing the people to survive the famine, he was preparing the Jews for the battle against the Yevanim. Chimesh stands for Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos. And I'm deriving from there a further pshat, an insight, which is that perhaps based on Beshalach, which Rashi quotes here, V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim, where there Rashi says chamushim means mizuyanim, armed, we could say that Yosef, who spiritually survived Galus, was spiritually arming the B'nai Yisrael to survive all their Galus, and spiritually arming the Maccabim to survive against Galus Yavin. So I thought that was very beautiful. Once again, reminds us how impressive and impactful, far-reaching and eternal is the Lashon of Torah, and how many Ramazim are hidden in every word of Torah. So that comes from the B'nai Yisrael, and I thank Dr. Bindegar for sharing that with me. Okay, so now I want to go to the main topic. That was just our introduction. The main topic of today's shiur. And it's related very much to Shabbos, but also in honor of Shabbos Chanukah, related to Chanukah. So I now quote from Rabbi Zev Lev Shlita, the Rav of Moshav Matityahu in Israel. So Rabbi Zev Lev says, according to the Maharal Miprag, the Maharal Miprag explains that the whole world stems from the sons of Noach. That makes sense, because after the deluge, the whole world was destroyed, and the only people there were Shem, Ham, and Yafes, the sons of Noach. So the whole world comes from Shem, Ham, and Yafes, and these three sons of Noach give the three necessary ingredients for the survival of the world. What do we mean by that? So what is Shem? Avram Avinu comes from Shem. Okay, there's 10 generations from Noach to Avram. That means 9 generations from Shem to Avram. Shem is Avram Avinu. That means we come from Shem. So Shem gives the intellect, the chachma, the wisdom to the world. But you can have wisdom without a guf. Yafes gives the external, the body. Yafes is Yavan. So Yafes gives the guf, the body, the external. Shem, who we come from, gives the chachma, the wisdom, the intellect, the internal. And then what's Cham? What does Cham give? Noah had three sons, Shem, Cham, and Yafes. We come from Shem. Yavan came from Yafes, so that makes sense. We focus on the mind, the internal. Yafes focuses on the external because they represent the aspect of the guf. So what's Cham? Cham is heat. Cham is like warm, right? If something is Cham, it's a Cham hayom, lo achshav. Be'emet, lo Cham hayom, aval b'kai, it's a Cham b'chutz. Cham is heat or warmth. Cham gives energy to the world. So you need to have energy. You could have all the chachma and you could have all the guf. You could have those external and internal, but you need something to fire it up. You need something to fuel it. So cham gives fuel. Cham is the energy. However, you have to make sure that your energy, cham, your heat, is subjugated to both your body and your mind. If you let your heat, your energy take over, your body will run rampant, your mind will be wasted, and you'll be a slave to your yetzer hara. So you have to make sure that your body, which comes from Yaven, Yafes, external, your mind, Chachma, wisdom, which comes from Shem, down to Avram Avinu, down to us, they are both fueled by Cham, the heat from the third son of Noach, but you have to make sure that your heat, your energy, your Yetzer is subjugated to the mind and subjugated to the body, because if it's vice versa, if the Cham is in charge, the Yetzer Hara is in charge and not subjugated to those aspects, then we will really live a futile life full of sin. Beis Avraham said you could see this in the Pasuk. Okay, he didn't quote the whole Pasuk, but I'm going to put it on the screen for you. Well, this is what I wanted to show you before. Could you see I am in Perek Tes of Bereishis up here, Esti? Yeah, okay, thank you so much. So when Noach wakes up from his drunken stupor, he talks for the first time in the whole parsha. Hey, it's really incredible. Noach never talks, but that's really a whole different shiur. So Vayiketz Noach Mieno, Noach wakes up from his drunken stupor, and he knows what his youngest son has done to him. Either Kenan, the son of Ham, emasculated him, or had homosexual relations, whatever. What does Noach say? Perek Tes, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Noach says about his children, Yaft Elokim Liyafas, V'yishkon Ba'ohal Eshem, V'yihi Kenan Eved Lamo. Right. Here we have these three aspects. God should increase beauty to Yafes. Yafes is the external, the guf, beauty. What's outside counts. The yishkon ba'ohalei shame. Yishkon be'ohalei shame. Shame is the internal. In the tense of shame, we study the chachma of Torah. V'yi kanan, kanan is cham. Eved lamo, kanan, cham. Your energy should be a servant to the other aspects of yourself. So again, one more time. The whole world, says the Maharal Meprag, and all people in this world stem from the three sons of Noach. But it's the three aspects of the sons of Noach combined. We all have external part of ourselves. That's the guf. That comes from Yafes, which is Yavan. We all have Chachma, hopefully, and we utilize it properly. That comes from Shem, who Avraham Avinu descended from 9 generations later. And we all have a drive, which comes from Cham. But you must make sure, V'hi Kenan Eved Lamo, Kenan Cham, your drive will be subservient to your Chachma, and your Chachma shouldn't be subservient to your drive, because if your wisdom is subservient to your Yetzirah, you're going to be in big trouble. So is everyone with me so far? I mean, the only person I could see is really Esti. But Esti, are we with me? Am I explaining it clearly? Yeah, hold on 1 second. Yes? Okay, I hope that Esti speaks for everybody else who's behind the little box. Okay, I'm trying to make sure that it's very clear. Yes? Okay, thank you so much. Okay, good. Okay, so you have, every person is really a composite of these three sons of Noach. It's not like some come from Yafes, some come from Shem, and some come from Kenan. The kohos of these three individuals are inside every single person. We all have external, Yafes. We all have internal Chachma, Shem. We all have heat, drive, passion. Cham. You have to make sure how to know what to focus on and what is subservient to what, as you see in this pasuk. Tes chav zayin yaft elokim liyafes. God should increase beauty to yafes. You need the external. Your neshama can't live in this world without the externality. You must have a guf. and we focus on appearance. The Shabbos table should be beautiful. A woman should put herself together nicely. The Kohanim more beautiful. Big day kahuna. We go to great lengths to focus on the external as long as it is servicing the neshama, the yishkan ba'ohalei shem. The beauty has to dwell in the tents of Torah of shem, chachma, and yi kanan eved lamo. The heat, the drive should be subservient to both of these aspects. Okay, I can now stop screen sharing. Okay, so Yavan comes from Yafes, the external. Rabbi Leff pointed out something that I never thought of before, even with all of my focus on words and Sharashim in Lashon HaKodesh and Lashon HaTorah. He pointed out something really beautiful, which is that Yavan backwards is Noi. Nun Vav Yud. It's very obvious. Yavan, read the other way, is Noi. Nun Vav Yud. Noi is beauty. Noi is beauty. And so you see that Nun Vav Yud in Lashon HaKodesh is beauty. And you see that really that's exactly what Yavan was focused on. Yavan was focused on beauty or external. I want to make sure I'm telling you everything I wanted to say. Okay, so Yavan is Noi, Yavan is beauty. The purpose of a Jew is to take that external beauty and channel it into Avodas Hashem. We don't only focus on the external, we also focus on the internal. The problem with Yavan is that they are solely focused on the external, and they forgot about using your chachma and letting your chachma rule your external, and they forgot about subjugating the heat to everything else, and they let the heat, the cham, run away. They're focused only on the external. So now, with this understanding, what did the Greeks want to destroy? They didn't want to destroy the external aspects of ourselves. They didn't want to kill Am Yisrael like Haman, or like Hitler. They didn't want to kill us like the Arab terrorists today want to kill us. They wanted to destroy our internality. They wanted to destroy our neshama, because this is what they are focused on. They wanted to let us live. That's what the Hellenists, unfortunately, were. The Hellenists went over to the other side. It wasn't a time of pogroms, and it wasn't a time of the Spanish Inquisition and the time of the guillotine or the pyres of the Spanish Inquisition. It was a time of wanting to destroy, quote, the neshama of Judaism. You could remain a person as long as you are solely external and not focused at all on your internal. Now that's not how we live. We are a composite of these two aspects of ourselves. A neshama can't live in this world without a guf, and it would be in the next world. It wouldn't be here either before it's this Gilgal or after this Gilgal, but it wouldn't be here. The neshama can't live without a guf. The guf also can't live without a neshama. But a Jew understands that everything external that they have is channeled into Avodas Hashem. This is what Yavan wanted to destroy. They wanted to destroy the soul, the neshama, the internal, the spark of Kedusha inside each and every Jew, which is why they were so focused on the external. Even the word Yafes is from the word Yofi. It's the word beauty. It's fine to have beauty. It's wonderful to have Noi, as long as you know that there's something internal which takes precedence over the external. Therefore, says Rabbi Zev Leff, when you look at the aspects of what they wanted to destroy, and we already began by talking about Yosef and understanding, according to the Bnei Yisrachar, the allusion in this parasha to the three things they wanted to destroy. Once again, the pasuk says, Ya'asa parav yafki pikidim al ha'aretz v'chimesh. As Eretz Mitzrayim, says the Bnei Yisrachar, what's v'chimesh? Yosef was preparing us to survive Galus by strengthening Yash in Chodesh Mila Shabbos. So Rabbi Lav says the fact that they wanted to destroy the neshama is evident in the areas of what they wanted to destroy. Bris Mila is the soul of the body. You have the external body. The place of Bris Mila is part of the external body. But it could also be used for Kedusha. Marriage is called Kedushin. Marriage in Lashon HaKodesh is called Kedushin. Isn't that incredible? Did you ever think about that? There's Nisun and there's Kedushin. Nisun is marriage because the external aspects of the husband and wife are used to bring Kedusha to the world. So Bris Mila, quote, is the soul of the body. So if they want to destroy the soul and everything internal, the Greek said, no Mila, i.e. destroy the soul of the body. What's Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is, quote, the soul of time. Wait. Barbara Hollander, you're the other person I could see. I'm quoting your mechutin, right? She disappeared from the camera for a minute. When she comes back, I'll ask her. Rosh Chodesh is the soul of time. Time is a physical entity, even though you can't touch it. It's something physical in this world. You have to give it a soul to time. You could either spend your time doing nothing. You could either spend your time playing Candy Crush. You could either spend your time watching TV. You could either spend your time, I don't know, sitting on the beach for hours and hours and hours. I'm not talking about to rejuvenate once in a while. Or you could spend your time investing it with a soul, doing mitzvahs, doing chesed, attending a shir, preparing for Shabbos, lighting Chanukah candles, Arba Kosos. So Rosh Chodesh represents the soul, the neshama of time. So now you understand why the Greeks said, destroy Rosh Chodesh. They were only focused on the external. Barbara Hollander, I was just talking to you before. I was quoting your mechutton, right? Were you here in the beginning when I quoted Dr. Bindiger? It's your mechutton, right? No, not your son-in-law. I'm talking about Dr. Bindiger Sr. Yes. Okay, so it was your mechutton that we began sharing with. You could go back and listen to the beginning of the recording. I quoted an insight that he shared with me last night through my husband. Okay, so Rosh Chodesh is the soul of time. And what Shabbos? Shabbos, as Rabbi Zavlaf, is the soul of the whole physical world. The Greeks were only focused on external, yavan, noi. Yavan backwards is noi, beauty. They didn't know that their beauty had to be v'yishkon ba'ohel Hashem. Beauty only counts if it dwells in the tents of Torah, chachma, and if the Yetzer Hara, cham, is subjugated, and not vice versa to beauty. So they wanted to destroy everything internal about Am Yisrael. Mila, they wanted to destroy the soul of the body. Chodesh, they wanted to destroy the soul of time. And Shabbos, they wanted to destroy the soul of the whole physical world. Says Rabbi Zavaf, Hashem created the world in 6 days. That gave the guf to the world. Everything created in 6 days was physicality. Think about it: the stars, the moon, the planetary bodies, the earth itself, the water, the fish in the sea. The animals that walked the earth, even Adam Arishon, in 6 days, says Rabbi Lav, Hashem created everything physical. But now, what's the physical world missing? The neshama. What's the neshama of the physical world? Shabbos. He says, what's the proof? We call Shabbos Me'ein Olam Haba. What's an Olam Haba? Neshamos. So Hashem took the neshama from Olam Haba and brought it to this physical world. And that's it, Rabbi Lav, is Shabbos. So what did the Greeks want to destroy? Everything internal. Everything that's a spark of kedusha, everything that gives meaning to our physical selves, yaven, noi, beauty, external, even the word yafes means yofi. It should be external without internality. Destroy Rosh Chodesh, the soul of time. Destroy Bris Milah, the soul of the body. Destroy Shabbos, the soul of the entire physical world. What else did they want to destroy? He brought up another aspect, which I wasn't so familiar with, but which makes a lot of sense, and that is Taharas HaMishpacha and the Kedushin of marriage. It relates beautifully to the topic of what they wanted to destroy is the internal Kedusha of everything. So it makes sense if marriage is called Kedushin, they wanted to destroy Jewish marriage as well. Why? What did they have to do? They enacted a law, said Rabbi Zavlev, that any woman, Jewish woman, before she gets married, must have relations with the Greek officer of that region or that district. In doing this, what they were trying to destroy was the essence of Kedusha, the essence of internality, the spark of holiness from Am Yisrael. Because Rabbi Zavlev said, in destroying the woman, Chas V'Shalom, trying to destroy the woman, what they're trying to destroy is the essence of the Kedusha of Knesset Yisrael. And he pointed out something so beautiful. Ready? The word Chashmonai, the family of Kohanim who fought this battle, Ches Shin Mem Nun Aleph Yud. I don't have a blackboard. I mean, I could really type it on the chat, but I'm not. We're all familiar with the name Chashmonai. Ches Shin Mem Nun Aleph Yud. Okay? This stands for all the aspects of what the Greeks were trying to destroy. Ches is Chodesh, the soul of time. Shabbos, Shin, the soul of the physical world. Mem, Mila, the soul of the body. Nun stands for nida. He said that they took away, there was no taras hamishpacha. He said you couldn't go to the mikvah at that time. There was, not only did the Jewish woman have to sleep with a Greek officer before their marriage, but even after the marriage, there was no taras hamishpacha or mikvah because the Greeks wanted to take away anything internal, any spark of kedusha. Nun stands for nida. Aleph stands for Eishes Ish. Chashmonai, because they took someone else's wife for themselves. And Yud, he said, stands for one of two things. He said, Yud is just like emphasis. He said, Yerushalmi, Tel Avivi, that's what Rabbi Zavlar said. But then he said, Yud could also stand for Shem Hashem. If you destroy the internal spark and everything, then what you're really doing is destroying the awareness of Shem Hashem. I was thinking something else for the Yud. The other aspect that the Greeks wanted to destroy, besides for Chodesh, Shabbos, and Mila, the other things they wanted to destroy was Torah, Torah learning. So perhaps Yud stands for the Seres HaDibros. Okay? So again, Chashmonai, Ches, Chodesh, I'm just looking at my notes, Shin, Shabbos, Mem, Mila, which are the spiritual soul of time, the world, and the body. Nun, Nida, because there was no Taras HaMishpacha anymore. Aleph, Eishes Ish, because they violated the Jewish woman. And Yud, says Rabbi Zavlav, either stands for like Yerushalmi, Tel Avivi, or Shem Hashem, but I'm going to propose that Yud stands for the Seres HaDibros, because we know that besides Chodesh, Shabbos, Mila, which are the three famous ones, they also said no Torah learning. What is Torah learning represented in? Rav Saadia Gaon teaches that Kol Torah Kula is encapsulated into those 10 Seres HaDibros. That's Rashi, the Parshas Mishpat, and Perek Chav Dalet. So they wanted to destroy the Yud, which represents Kol Torah Kula. Why is the Jewish woman, he said, the soul of Am Yisrael? Because being Jewish goes after the mother. He said, it doesn't matter who the father is. From the biggest, the lowest element of the Umas Olam to the highest element in Am Yisrael, it doesn't matter who the father is. If the woman is Jewish, the child is Jewish. So the woman is the soul of Am Yisrael. Chodesh is the soul of time. Mila is the soul of the body. Shabbos is the soul of the whole physical world. And so you see that in every edict of mitzvah that they destroyed, the goal was all the same. There was one foundation to what they were trying to do. Destroy internality. Destroy neshama. Each of these mitzvahs that they try to eradicate is just an expression of destroying the internality of neshama and something, whether it was the neshama of time, the neshama of body, the neshama of Am Yisrael, the Jewish woman, or the neshama of the world, Shabbos. What they were trying to destroy was anything internal. They wanted us to be a purely external focused people. Like their name indicates, Yavan, Noi is beauty, Yafes is Yofi, beauty. And he pointed out something interesting. He said, I thought this was interesting. You know, if you ever go to the deli container, deli counter, and they ask you what size container you want, okay? So you could have the tall container, the medium container, or the small container. There's tall, medium, and small when it comes to things in this physical world. He said, in the physical world, we measure things quantitatively, not qualitatively, in the physical world. In the spiritual world, you better focus on quality. Small, medium, large. Do you want a container of rice that's small, a container of rice that's medium, or a container of rice that's large? So Rabbi Zavlav said, look at the letters of Yavan. Yod is small, Vav is medium, and Nun is large, because they measured everything quantitatively. What's the quantity? Because that's how we measure things in the physical world. Do you want small? Yod. Medium, Vav, Nun, large. Everything is external without focusing on the quality of the matter. So amazing. I just want to make sure. Oh, and I heard Rabbi Zavlav say in a different shir, a different year. He didn't mention it in the shir a couple of years ago. He said something a little bit funny, but it ties into the shir. Why do we eat sufgani ot on Chanukah? The reason we eat sufgani on a Chanukah, I know the miracle of the oil, fried foods, but he said eating sufgani on a Chanukah shows that it's what's inside that counts. No, he really said that. So I'm not making a joke. Okay, it was in a few years ago. I'm going to tie it into Pirkei Avos. Al tistakel b'kan kan el b'masha yeshbo. You don't want a Hanukkah, a donut that's a donut like the rest of the year. It doesn't have anything in it. What's the significance of the stuffing? It teaches us that to focus on the internal, because that's exactly what Yavan wanted to destroy and root out. Anything internal in Knesset Yisrael. Furthermore, he tied it into the oil that we use to light the menorah. The oil, isn't it amazing? I can only see a couple of people, but it's like unbelievable. Amazing. 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 Not me, I'm just giving it over. So he talked about the oil. He related to the oil that we use. The oil we use to celebrate Hanukkah must be pure, must be quality oil, not quantity oil. You could have jugs and jugs of oil in quantity, small, medium, large. But if it doesn't have the quality of being Shemezayah Zoch, if it's not pure internally, then the quality, then the, I'm sorry, then the quantity does not matter. It's not how much oil you have. It's rather the quality of the oil you have. Why? Because this shows triumph over the Greeks. What were they focused on? What's the quantity? What's the physicality? Small, medium, large. Yud, Vav, Nun, Yavan. What's the external? What do we say? What's the quality of the matter? And it's interesting because the Maisa, halachically, you only really need an amount of oil to burn for half an hour to be Yotzei the mitzvah. So you don't, and in fact, if you have enough oil to burn for half an hour, and you made the bracha, and you have the kavanah that it's going to burn for at least a half an hour, and it goes out, you were still Yotzei the mitzvah. How could you still be Yotzei the mitzvah? Maybe somebody walked by and blew on your, a wind came, or someone walked by and they blew it after 5 minutes. How was I just Yotzei the mitzvah? You had the oil, you had the intent, you made the brachas, it's Shemen Zayisach. So this really proves that what we are focused on is the quality, the internality of the matter, and not the quantity or the externality of the matter. So before I go to the next nekuda, let's recap. What did the Greeks want to do? Yavan backwards is noi. They were totally focused on beauty. Even the word Yafes, the name of the son of Noach from whom Yavan comes, Yafes means yofi, your beauty. External is important in Yahadus, very important. You can't live here without a guf. Your neshama can't fulfill the tafkid without the guf. But you have to know that there is a neshama, and that's shame. Yafta elokim yafes v'yishkom ba'olei shame. The beauty must dwell in the tents of shame. It all must be subjugated to the cham, the heat. No. The heat must be subjugated to the beauty and the neshama. Along come the Greeks, the Yavan, Noi, beauty, Yafes, Yofi, and they say, let's get rid of everything internal. The only thing counts is what's on the outside. They don't want any neshama to Klal Yisrael. They don't want any kedusha. So what do they want to destroy? Because I'm going to add on to this in a moment, so let's make sure we have this. Rosh Chodesh, they wanted to destroy the soul of time. Mila, they wanted to destroy the soul of the body. Shabbos, and this is a Shabbos Kodesh class learning, so remember this. They wanted to destroy Shabbos, as Rabbi Laff, is the whole soul of the physical world. The 6 days of creation are the guf of the world. Along comes Shabbos and gives the world its neshama. And that's why he said it's me'ein olam haba, because what's an olam haba? Neshamos. Hashem took a neshama from olam haba and gave it to the world. The woman is the soul of Am Yisrael. She is the spiritual soul of the physical entity of Knesset Yisrael. How do you know that? Because it doesn't matter who the father is, as long as she is Jewish, the children are Jewish, because she gives the soul to the physicality of Knesset Yisrael. He said, I'm not trying to make the woman feel extra good, but the Maisa, that's how it is. So what did they want to destroy? The aspects represented in the name Chashmonai, those who battled back. Ches, Chodesh, Shin, Shabbos, Mem, Mila, Nun, Nida, Aleph, Eishes Ish, because there was no Taras HaMishpacha, you couldn't go to the mikvah, Eishes Ish, they made the woman about to get married come and be intimate, if you could even call it intimacy, I'm not sure what to call it, have relations, not intimacy, have relations with the Greek officer, and Yud is either Yerushalmi, Chashmonai, or Shem Hashem, but I'm going to add on, I think that Yud stands for the Aseres HaDibros, because they also wanted to destroy Torah. Why do we eat sufganiyot? It's what's inside that counts. Why must the oil be pure? It's not quantity. Yod Vav Nun. Yavin is focused on small, medium, large, external quantity. It's quality. And that's why the oil must be pure to commemorate our triumph over the Yavanim. If our triumph over the Yavanim was what that we saved the soul of the body, we saved the soul of the world, we saved the soul of time, and we saved the soul of Am Yisrael, then we must use pure oil, because it's about the quality of the oil, not the quantity of the oil. I just want you to know that to be able to give this shiur over properly, which I hope I'm doing, Hashem should help me, Hashem sifal say tivtech ufi yagit asecha, I mamash listened to the shiur of Rabbi Zevlov twice to make sure that I had it correct and that I understood it enough to give it over. A few weeks ago, I spoke on a Shabbos afternoon, and to give that shiur over in the name of Rabbi Left, I listened to it, I told the ladies four times. Literally, I listened to it four times. This one I listened to twice. So I hope I'm doing a good job. And now he pointed out something beautiful as well. I'm not going in order of his shiur, whatever. I just put it together in the way I wanted to put it together. They also wanted to destroy Torah. I propose that the Yod of Chashmonai stands for the Seres HaDibros. That's cute. Someone said she would have to listen to six times. So I listened to it twice. But a few weeks ago, Mamish, I gave a shiur on Shabbos afternoon. I said to prepare this shiur, I listened to the same shiur four times. To prepare today's shiur, I listened two times, I promise. Okay? Which is a lot, because I don't have a lot of extra time. But I thought it was just so incredible. The other thing they wanted to destroy was Torah. So if, as Rabbi Zevlev is proposing, his thesis is that the Greeks wanted to destroy the neshama of everything. So really they wanted to destroy one thing, the soul. It had different expressions. They chose the soul of time, the soul of Am Yisrael, the soul of the world, and the soul of the body. In this way, they hope to accomplish, ultimately, the spiritual destruction of Knesset Yisrael. The other thing they wanted to destroy was Torah. How does destroying Torah fit into this idea of destroying the soul of Am Yisrael? He said, ready? They didn't have a problem with Torah Shabbat. If anything I'm saying is wrong, it's not wrong. If anything I'm saying is not exactly as Rabbi Lef said, it's not a reflection of Rabbi Lef's shir. Right? It's just either my addition or my mistake. Torah Shabbat Peh is the neshama of Torah Shabbichtav, which we know is true. Torah Shabbichtav is the external template. But what gives Torah Shabbatav life is Torah Shabbatav. How do you know what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos? How do you know the halachas of chopping an Israeli salad or an onion? How do you know the halachas of reheating food? How do you know the halachas of hotza'ah? How do you know all the halachas? You could open up the chumash, you're not going to see it there. You won't see. It doesn't say anywhere about chopping an onion on Shabbos. It doesn't say anywhere about warming up food on Shabbos. It doesn't say anything about winnowing on Shabbos in the chumash. You're not going to find it. Doesn't say anything in the Chumash about the halachas of Hotza'ah. So how do we know how to keep Shabbos? The soul of Torah Shabbat Peh, no, the soul of Torah Shabbichtav is Torah Shabbat Peh. That's why the Tzedukim said they only keep what's written. They had it totally wrong. They were not ma'aminim. They weren't believers. They didn't keep the Torah properly. Just like the guf can't live without the neshama, just like time can't live without Rosh Chodesh, just like Am Yisrael can't live without the Jewish woman, just like the world can't live without Shabbos, Torah Shabbichtav has no validity without Torah Shabbat Peh. Of course it has validity. It's given to God, it was given to Moshe at Har Sinai. But without the Torah Shabbat Peh, which is the neshama of Torah Shabbichtav, Torah Shabbichtav, I'm sorry to say, it's worthless. It is. That's what the Tzedukim were. Again, don't misquote Micha Horowitz and say that she said Torah Shabbichtav is worthless. That's not what I said. Torah Shabbichtav without Torah Shabbat Peh has no neshama, it has no meaning. You won't know how to do anything. How do you know the halachas of Yom Kippur? V'inisem es nafsho seichem. Do you know what V'inisem es nafsho seichem means? Do you know what means no tashmish amita? Do you know what means no ne'ilas ha-sandal? Do you know what means no achila and no shasiya? How do you know what it means? How do you know? Because Chazal come along and they tell you what it means. So, and Rashi says quite a number of times on Chumash that Torah Shabbat Peh was coming to Moshe at Har Sinai just like Torah Shabbichtav. We're not the Tzedukim. So, continuing with this thesis or theory proposed by Rabbi Lef, Now, what they were really trying to do was destroy the neshama of everything. It had different expressions. Now we understand why the last thing that they wanted to destroy was Torah. But they also have the Old Testament. Today, the Christians have the Old Testament. Other religions also have the Old Testament. So why don't they have Torah? Because they're missing, well, they're not Jews, but they're also missing the neshama of Torah. What we must understand is that Torah Sheba'al Peh is the neshama of Torah Shebichtav. And he said, what's the proof? Ready? That's the proof. Torah Sheba'al Peh is the Mishnah. What's the letters of Mishnah? Mem Shun Nun Hei. Unscramble them, and what does it spell? Or rearrange them, and what does Mishnah spell? Neshama. Because the Torah Sheba'al Peh, that's why there's a custom, I don't know if it's a custom or halacha, I'm not sure, that's why there's a custom to learn Mishnayos after the patir of a person. Why are Mishnah, if you go to a Shiva house, they always have a Mishnayos sign-up sheet. Why Mishnayos specifically? Because Mishnayos are an aliyah for the Neshama, because Mishnah and Neshama is the exact same letters. Nun, Shin, Mem, Hei. So the Greeks once again wanted to destroy the soul of the body, Bris Milah, the soul of time, Rosh Chodesh, the soul of the world, Shabbos, the soul of Am Yisrael, Jewish woman, and the soul of Torah, Torah Sheba'al Peh, is the soul of Torah Shebichtav. He did not say this, but I'm going to add this in. He touched upon, I'll tell you what I'm going to extrapolate from his words for our final Ha'ara today, who pointed out that the proof that they wanted to destroy everything spiritually and not physically is that when it talks about the Greek destruction, it doesn't use Chorban, which is physical destruction. It uses the words like Tameh and Chalal. They wanted to be Mechalal Amisra and they wanted to be Metameh Amisra. This indicates spiritual destruction and not physical destruction. Rabbi Lev said, what is Chalal? It's a corpse. I actually looked up halal on Google Translate when I was preparing this year. What's the definition of halal? Ches lamed lamed. Hollow, void, vacuum, socket, slain, or dead. That's from Google Translate. Halal is hollow, void, vacuum, socket, slain, or dead. That's exactly what the Greeks wanted to do. They wanted to leave us spiritually dead. They wanted to leave us hollow. You could be an external person, but they wanted to remove the neshama through removing or outlawing Shabbos, Chodesh, Milah, Nashim, Torah. What they were doing was taking out the neshama. They were leaving a hollow external corpse. So chalal means hollow, void, vacuum, socket, slain, dead. By taking out the neshama, the quality, and only focusing on quantity, small, medium, large, yaven, noi, yafes, yofi, they were going to leave us a spiritual shell. It was only going to be an external, like a corpse is external, without the neshama. Without the neshama of Torah, without the neshama of woman, without the neshama of time, without the neshama of the gulf, without the neshama of the world, without the neshama of Torah Shebichtav. And he said, he's 99% sure that the etymology of the word hollow in English, H-O-L-L-W, H-O-L-L-O-W, comes from the word chalal. Chalal is something hollow. And he said, that's why a flute is called a chalil, because a flute is a hollow instrument. So once again, you're reminded that all words in Lashon HaKodesh are very well chosen and tell us about the summation of the matter. Why is a flute called a chalil? Because it's a hollow musical instrument. So this is really the goal of the Greeks, to be michalel Am Yisrael by removing our neshama and then applying it to all these different areas. So what do I want to add in to finish up, because this is a Shabbos Kodesh year? Now we understand what Chilul Shabbos means. Chilul Shabbos does not mean doing muktzah. It doesn't mean cutting the tomatoes teeny, teeny, tiny, tiny 3 hours before Shabbos. It doesn't mean getting into a car on Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos, based on everything that Rabbi Zev Lev said that we shared in our shir today, means leaving Shabbos hollow. Removing the neshama of Shabbos. It could externally look like Shabbos, But if one is mechalel et haShabbat, what they're really doing is making Shabbos a void, a sake, slain or dead. By removing the neshama of Shabbos, we are ultimately being mechalel Shabbos. Chashmonai chodash, the soul of time. Shabbos, the soul of the entire world. Mem, the soul, Mila, the soul of the body. Nun, Nida, and Aleph, Eshes Ish, the woman is the soul of Am Yisrael. Yod, I'm going to go with my pshat, the Aseres HaDibros, because Torah Sheba'al Peh gives the soul to Torah Shebichtav. So, like the B'nai Saskar says, in the name of Dr. Bindiger, what is the connection between Yosef and Parshas Miketz and Chanukah? Many connections, but one in this week's parasha. Yosef advised Paro, Ya'ase Paro v'yafkid pikidim al ha'aretz, let Paro proceed and appoint overseers over the land, v'chimesh as Eretz Mitzrayim b'sheva shnei hasova. Yosef wanted to ignite the flame in the Chashmonaim and give us the koach to be spiritually armed, v'chamushim al b'nei Yisrael m'eretz Mitzrayim, to survive Gals. V'chimesh, says the b'nei Yisachar, chodesh, Mila, and Shin is Shabbos Kodesh. So I hope everybody was as excited by this year as I was. Torah is truly the soul of everything we have, and incredibly amazing. I wish you a meaningful and uplifting Shabbos Kodesh, Lichtige Chanukah, and Chodesh Tov. Once again, I thank our sponsor and hostess so very much for this chus of being able to share, prepare, listen, and learn this Torah together with you. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful Shabbos Kol Tov. Thank you. Okay, thank you so much. Kol Tov. Kol Tov.